trying to manage the quorum issues on the side of the committee, because our colleagues from the DA had other... You're not taking voice, Mosim Klegas, ne? You're not taking voice, ne?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So our colleagues from the DA had the other engagement this afternoon up to about 3:30. But we felt that we will start any time they will find us proceeding. So it affects badly the quorum of the meeting. That is why we've had this kind of extended lunch break. Yeah. So we are now about to resume, because quite a number of other items, they will need a briefing. So, but when we will be about to vote, we hope that our colleagues would have returned. Fine. So for now, we're really short of quorum. Please bear with us, DM members, officials. Please bear with us. That gentleman, Simpiolo, he's from the Cape TV, and Wambane colleague there is having a hand. Wambane colleague, some can just smile a little bit. Sisnomfundo, have you been on TV of late? You can smile to that camera. Now, and Simpiolo, from Cape TV, UDM is a familiar person around the Western Cape, with Deputy Minister's question. This beautiful gentleman here, you might think he's 18. He was 18 quite some time ago, I can confirm. And the acting director general, this lady here, and it's the whole team, it's the whole meeting. Unfortunately, colleagues, they can't remain, so they just wanted the footage. Honorable DM is used to this footage all the time he was at ANC, NEC. The cameras would come for the footage just to, you know, just to get a fence at Irene all the time. Yeah, so that is that. When we are full house, the honorable members sit there, but you can already identify Honorable Matthias. Is that beautiful gentleman there with glasses? He's been talking good, nice English all... I trust that you've got enough kettle in your... And Simpiwe, you can identify Honorable Kildane all the time. He's,
when we go to
Bangier,
we identify the people...
I was simply using the mic so that. Thank you.
The KTV saw you. You saw. You smiled to them when they were looking your way.
Time will be against us. We can't convene here tomorrow. No. Do we have a luxury of getting out way after, way into the evening? It can't be. We'll really reluctantly start, shall I just say, ladies and gentlemen, we're now resuming. And I'm reluctant because it's good to have parties trusting one another, not thinking that in our absence you had to speed up and you wanted to, so it would be like there was some other motives for doing things why some other colleagues were out. But on the other hand, we cannot really wait because the meeting is a scheduled meeting. Each other things are clashing. Yeah. So we are going ahead. What I'm going to ask us to do now is to receive the report on the A list, B list, C list, D list on the CPA amendment. And the reason is that once we're done with that, we left with now the APPs, all three, right? But if we do the lists, when it comes to adoption, for as long as we are less than six members of the portfolio committee, we will not be able to adopt at that point. But so long, let's really get a report so that it goes on record, so that we interact with it. I'm going to invite my three colleagues who are in attendance to really be alert as they will be engaging with the input. Earlier on, legal gurus, I had asked you, because I knew exactly what I meant, because my view to the members, now they are at the back, and but it's fine, because they now have an option to join the front seats, you know. So if they remain at the back, it's up to them, but I've got an obstructed view with respect to them sitting at the back. Perhaps if members would prefer to sit at the front rows, so long we will proceed. They might just digest and act accordingly. We want to take the report on the A list and B list. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to honourable members and to colleagues. On the A list, there were just a few changes which we have done, Chairperson. As directed by members, the punctuation by Honorable Sultana,
please talk to the mic.
The grammatical, the punctuation, we have done the changes that the committee instructed us to do. Was the punctuation which we had to do, as suggested by Honorable Sultana, which we've inputted. We had a comment from Honorable Mark Adler to just fix this clause in the A list, Chairperson, which we have fixed. We removed the tautology in 18.1, page 6 of the A list, 18.1. We've removed the repetition of the word regulations there. Just use some drafting technique to remove that. And that section now reads as follows: the minister may make regulations intended to give effect to the implementation of this act, including the management of associations, A, B, the management of business affairs conducted by or on behalf of the associations, as suggested by the Honorable Makal, and C, the thresholds relating to the sale, donation, encumbrance, or purchase of certain categories of movable property, which was your comment, Chairperson, about adding the thresholds. So that takes care of the outstanding amendments that we had to do as proposed by the committee. As directed by the committee. We also just want to point out to honourable members the slight printing mistake that happened on the preamble, right at the end of the A list. The square bracketed words acquire and hold, acquire comma hold, were proposed to be deleted by the department, but the committee rejected that amendment, and therefore it should not have been highlighted. So we will just correct that mistake in the A list, Chairperson. So if the committee adopts this A list, then we will propose that it be adopted with that amendment, or conditional to that amendment being done, which we will do afterwards, Chairperson. That Chairperson concludes our commentary on the A list. Thank you.
Everything but the technical parliamentary procedure on adopting lists and so on is beyond my scope, but I'm grappling and learning very fast on it. So that was the A list. So please advise us what else after that, what would you suggest we do before I allow members to actually comment? Just guide us there, Nati, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. When the A list, which is the list of committee amendments, is completed and adopted by the committee, as we've now presented, the committee then moves on to the B list, or the B version, which is just the bill as introduced, incorporating all of the amendments that came from the committee. And that becomes the bill that will be adopted by the committee. So the clause by clause then takes the clause by clause adoption of the bill, where members read each clause to make sure that all of the amendments in the A list have been correctly reflected in the B list, When that then is adopted, that becomes the final bill of the committee, and then a report gets developed about the adoption of this bill. And this is a version that goes to the House for adoption and becomes an act after signature, or say gets sent to the President for signature. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. All right, members, the last batch of amendments proposed, tautology, grammatical, and that hold and acquire and hold also was removed by mistake. So that's what the legal team is proposing. We look at as our A list. I would invite the members just to have a bite, quick, short, sweet one. Thank you. Any hands? Honorable Fildane, any other hands? No other hands. Okay.
I'll speak on behalf of all. thanks for the opportunity, Chair. Literally, just a quick last bite on this. I think we've come a long way. I was concerned yesterday when I saw those two words, hold and hold, because I know we had a very serious debate around that, after that young lady, I think it was in Mpumalanga, had appealed to us to make sure that we keep their right to own, to hold, not just to be turned into managers of CPA properties. And we wanted to be sure as MPs that that remains fettered into the whole process. So we're happy with that. You know, one might think that it's a big fuss to look at those grammatical errors. When I was scrutinizing the Ingonyama Trust Act yesterday, I discovered a critical grammatical error, right? I think it's right in the last subsection. One long sentence with no comma. Somewhere in the middle, it says the board. And it makes the sentence so meaningless. And this is a 1994 act. You'll see it there. The word board is right in the middle. There's no comma. There should have been a full stop. It was not there. And we've stayed in South Africa with a piece of legislation which is constructed in a manner which loses its meaning. So that's why we are so sticky, you know, about these commas and things. They change the meaning. Can you see it? It makes the whole, where subsection so meaningless. You've got to try to struggle to see what they're trying to say here. So it's not just a big unnecessary fuss. So we appreciate the opportunity of being accommodated when it comes to looking at those grammar mistakes. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Filtane. He has spoken on behalf of us all, legal team. Please note that we want to be particular because history will judge us. Yes, and we would love our work to really be high quality, high standard, and so on. Yeah, they are errors everywhere. They not but errors as they are, they have got serious implications. Yeah. So thank you. I am checking with the Commentary Secretary. I was certainly not aware that we're supposed to read the clause by clause. We did it for 3 weeks in the first round. So I was not aware we're supposed to do the clause by clause here and now. We may just ask them to wear their jeans and sit on the stands, because if we do that, I have a sense that we'll take forever. But it's got to be done, and it is urgent. We want this CPA amendment to go through. And each time we're losing, we lose like a week. Because if we lose today, we'll then lose a week. But what we'll do so long, now that there has been presentation, we have consensus now, 100% consensus on those. So I think that we'll need an adoption, and then we'll then do a clause by clause as you propose. How do we start a discussion to jump from that? We'll ask you to bear with us. It would need a quorum, and you can see we're not necessarily correct now. Yeah. So we're compelled to then use what the Honorable Member Chabeleng said yesterday, the parking bay. And as soon as we see that our numbers are favorable, we'll then look at what next to do. Yeah. between myself and the management team, we will look at when can this close-by-close reading be done. Against the backdrop of the APPs, the three sets of APPs we expect here. Yeah, I have received the apology as well from the Honorable Deputy Minister. As we would know that he's also very busy with the political deployments against the backdrop of those memorial services and tasks. So at some point we will have to excuse him, and given the traffic situation in the around Cape Town to reach the venue. But that will be at a certain point in time, Honorable TS. For now, we'll just proceed with you. I want to propose that we get the OVG to be the first to make a presentation. I do not know, Valua General, it would be much better if we had you sitting somewhere in some, yeah, you're not going to do it nicely from the back benches. I know today you're not going to call us councillors, ne?
No. To the Office of the Valua General. As most of you already are aware, the listing of the Office of the Valua General as a Schedule 3A entity happened early in March this year. We were informed verbally and we got the letter on the 9th of April 2018. The OVG actually became operational from 1st August 2015, and I was appointed and started on the 15th of August 2015. I was the only appointee, so I started operating as a one-man show until the end of 2015, when I had three professional valuers transferred from the Department of Rural Development to support the OVG initially. So our work in terms of professional valuations effectively started around April 2016, even though we haven't actually got our strategy plan and all those other documents in place yet. You would understand that we couldn't give an excuse that because we didn't have staff, we couldn't start supporting the department. So we consciously decided that we would use private funds to support the work of the department, because the act became implementable, so there will be no excuse not to implement it. Later, getting to the end of 2016, we then had Mr. Motsoeneng transferred to the Office of the Valua General, because we needed a senior official to support myself in terms of starting to put together a strategy document, a proposed structure, and then to begin to work in terms of the various legislation, especially the Finance Management Act, which governs what we do essentially. We have operated as such until early this year, where our proposed structure is now gone through. Unfortunately, because of the switch of ministers, the new minister has to have another look at it. But actually, she's busy working through it. We expect that it will be signed off any time from now. But despite that, we already had permission to make certain critical appointments in terms of professional valuers. So that's been done and it's ongoing. We are going through the interviews. So hopefully, by the beginning of June, we should have additional staff complement to begin to support the work of the Office of the Valuer General. I would quickly hand over to Mr. Mochonen to go through the presentation, and then I'll get the questions after that. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Before Mr. Mochonen, I'm just advising everyone in the room, whenever in the parliamentary committees, be cautious. The systems are recording and some are visuals, like the cameras. Therefore, try and avoid walking between, for instance, in the room, there's 3, 1, 2, 3, and someone speaking. It becomes very, very clumsy and unprofessional. It may call on those who are doing the audiovisuals to do lots of editing. And probably sometimes there can be no editing on live transmissions. So I'm just saying, because there was already someone who not, he should be much, much more aware. You know. Thank you. Over to you, Tappen.
Thanks, Chair. Members of the committee, good afternoon. Chair, when we arranged our presentation, we were guided by the letter that we had received from the chairperson of the committee. We have attempted to, we have covered all of the things that were required, and the VG also thought that because it's the first real comprehensive engagement with the committee on the side of the OVG, we should add one or few things. I'm mentioning this, Chair, so that I'm guided. I do have a 50-slide presentation, but I do recognize the time constraints that may be there, so I can be guided any time through my presentation as to what to give more attention to. So at any time I may be interrupted and given direction as to how to proceed.
Thank you, Justin. If you can run through all of it in 10 minutes, that would be great of you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. By way of introduction, as Mr. Gavoy has said, that the Property Valuation Act itself came into effect on 1 August 2015, became operational when the Valuer General was appointed. It was signed a little bit earlier, I think it was in 2014, when it was assented to by the President. It provides for the establishment of the OVG, and it defines its functions. It provides for the appointment of the Valuer General. It provides also for the regulation of valuation of property identified for land reform, as well as valuation of property identified for acquisition or disposal by any other department, even if it's not a matter of land reform. It establishes the PVA, or rather the PVA establishes the OVG as a juristic person with full legal capacity, in terms of which the OVG must be impartial and must exercise the powers and perform its functions without fear, favor, or prejudice, that the OVG may do all the necessary to perform its functions, including the determination of its own staff establishment with the concurrence of the minister. It makes the Valuer General responsible for income and expenditure of the OVG, and it provides also for the funds of the OVG, which consists of money appropriated by Parliament and money received from other sources through the National Revenue Fund. Basically, those are the main things that it provides for. And as the VG has alluded to earlier on, it has now been listed as a Schedule 3A public entity in terms of the PFMA. In order for us to get the OVG going and to get it to function as a proper organization, we initiated a project to implement the stipulations of the PVA, and also to achieve operational effectiveness and efficiency. Also looking at producing reliable financial reporting, being able to comply with applicable legislation, regulations, and policies. There is a deliberate effort to essentially create the organization as a corporate function, as a corporate entity. The key objectives of this project are to craft an organizational design and define an implementation journey to determine, one, the appropriate organizational form, to define the strategy of the OVG, to come up with an operating model and business processes, macro and micro organizational structure of the OVG, to determine its information technology requirements, to determine its governance and reporting requirements, determine its central and regional requirements, to determine a financial model and determine budgetary requirements and obtain budget approval, define its policies, obtain approval for its organization design components, to implement its legal structure and contracting requirements, that's like SLAs and with departments, to set up its placement, recruitment, and bargaining structures, implement its organizational structure by transfer, placement, and recruitment of staff, implement its governance model by appointing committee members and developing committee charters, such as your usual risk and audit committees, define its IT requirements and produce and implement same, implement its operating model and business processes through training of staff, establish effective, efficient, and transparent systems of internal control, and implement the requisite monitoring and reporting capabilities. By and large, what we are doing, what I've just described in this slide, is to, in effect, make the OVG an organization that is guided by an infrastructure in terms of governance and the manner in which it is to be run. In terms of the strategy, constitutional mandates, the constitutional mandate of the OVG is derived from Section 25 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, which provides for the protection of property, expropriation for a public purpose or in the public interest, subject to the payment of compensation. See the nation's commitment to land reform and the provision of equitable access to South Africa's natural resources, with specific reference also to the three land reform programs, redistribution, tenure reform, and restitution, and D, the taking by the state of legislative and other measures to achieve land and other natural resources reform. So at the moment as it stands, this is the inspiration for the Property Valuation Act comes from this constitutional mandate that exists at the moment in the Constitution. Legislative mandates, it is the PVA. Given time, I won't go into too much detail about it, except that there are other acts that do have an impact on our work. At the moment, we have the Expropriation Act, which is still the old 1975 Act. As we know, that there is a process to finalize a new Expropriation Act. It will be obviously our PVA. Then there is the Property Valuers Profession Act, which is administered by the Department of Public Works. That act is important because the PVA demands that the people who do valuations must be registered in terms of this act. So the pool that we draw skills from is guided by this act, and they are subject to this act that is being administered by the Department of Public Works. In terms of strategy, our vision, the vision of the OVG is to be recognized in the marketplace as the center of excellence and innovation in respect of property valuations and the professional authority on all land reform related valuations in particular, thereby enhancing the credibility and efficiency of land reform in South Africa. Chair, you'll realize that some of the things are typically things that go to the strategy document. Our presentation tries to cover both the strategy document and the APP, because we are submitting a strategy document for the first time as the OVG. In terms of mission, is to support the land reform by providing impartial, efficient, just and equitable valuation services for all land reform related matters in the country. 2, promote accurate professional valuations by informing, communicating and monitoring adherence to the criteria and guidelines applicable to land reform valuations. And 3, to enhance efficiency and accuracy of valuations through the development of innovative tools and processes, including a database of property value data accessible to the valuation profession as a whole. And lastly, to provide impartial, efficient, equitable, and accurate general valuation services to and on behalf of government departments. We'll do so guided by the values of integrity, of objectivity, accountability, efficiency, transparency, impartiality, accessibility, and inclusivity. This is these are the values that were agreed by the OVG staff that already exist, as the VG said. We were also assisted when we did our strategy document by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in session. I'm talking about the workshops that we had, included officials and colleagues from the Commission and the Department itself. We had colleagues from the Department of Cooperative Governance who also have a strong leaning towards valuations. We had the South African Council for the Property Valuers Profession and the Department of Public Works represented in our strategy sessions. So these are things that are emerging from them. In terms of situational analysis, I suggest that I skip it because of time, but we did a proper pastel type of an analysis that gives a sense of where the OVG, the environment in which the OVG operates, so that we are alive to our own situation, and we take a look at what our strengths and weaknesses are. And maybe I should briefly speak to what we think are strengths as the OVG. One of the strengths is the importance of mandate in indisputable and will provide great momentum. The importance of the OVG's mandate is not in dispute, and that is a strength for the organization called the OVG. It's got an existing market, and the market is captive because the valuations are provided for in the PVA. The PVA is clear that the valuations for land reform would be done by the OVG. So that is one of the strengths of the OVG. We said that this financial stability that is guaranteed by the state, as the state is funding the program on land reform. Established initial funding source, budget allocation appropriation from the National Revenue Fund. Fourthly, there's an existing relationship and access to information. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, which facilitate cooperation with Surveyor General's Office and the DIS Office. One of the strengths is that the service that the OVG provides is of a professional nature, which supports autonomy, independence, impartiality, and out of that you've got operational efficiencies. There is no government influence in professional valuation outcomes. It's based on the law that governs the profession on valuations. There are high levels of accountability that are required in the work that the OVG does, and we see that as a strength to the organization. On the weaknesses, some of our weaknesses is capacity to meet the demand. I think the VG mentioned that, even though he's already mentioning mitigation. But we identified as a weakness. Secondly, HR and support function capacity needs to be developed as well. Organizational structure to be finalized and approved. new policies and procedures to be developed and implemented with agency witness, new systems to be implemented, ensure adequate internal control in the meantime, governance structures need to be appointed or determined, audit committees, risk committees, the relationship with the Auditor General as well to be established in preparation for the first audit that the OVG will undergo. So those are some of the weaknesses that we've got. I'll skip on the opportunities and strengths and go straight to the goals. Though goal one and through goal one and using formalized SLAs between the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the OVG, the OVG has ensured alignment of the DRDLR's APP with the effort of the OVG. So the effort of the OVG is aligned to what the Department of Rural Development wants to achieve and has said so in its documents. The Office of the Valuer General has identified three strategic goals that it seeks to achieve in the five-year period of this strategic plan. So the first one, which is really the main goal, is to support land reform. That's goal one. The strategic objective there is to execute all valuations for land reform. And the measure in terms of performance will be the percentage of valuation instructions for land reform that have been completed by the OVG. Goal number two is to develop criteria, procedures, and guidelines, and the objective is a determination of criteria, procedure, and guidelines that will be used in the valuation of property for land reform within the OVG. And the measure is the initial set of valuation criteria, procedures, and guidelines determined. Goal number three is organizational sustainability. It's got a number of objectives. The first one is to grow the business from non-loan reform valuations, is to produce high-quality valuations, establish operational and governance processes, and operational sustainability. Chair, usually a goal like this one would not be necessarily seen as strategic. But given the startup nature of the OVG, we thought if it is not monitored and elevated to the level of a strategic objective or goal, we may lose the necessary focus in ensuring that the OVG gets to a point where it's an organization that is sustainable. In terms of measures, the first one is the number of potential target clients that are surveyed, revenue from other non-land reform valuations as a percentage of annual fixed operating costs.
Why do you pause it? What? Non-land reform valuation, non-land reform department.
It's revenue that would be sourced from doing valuations of a non-land reformed nature. If you remember, in terms of the Property Valuation Act, the OVG will be funded to do valuations for land reform, but it's also allowed to levy fees for non-land reform valuations. And the third measure is establish an independent quality review and assurance mechanism within the OVG and maintenance of the property data. And the last one on this side is percentage of valuations reviewed by the Quality Review Committee. The next one is the completion of the determination of the business operating model and establishment of internal control project. That's the project that I referred to earlier. A feasibility study for the development of a property data management tool approved by the VG. The filling of professional vacancies in terms of the approved structure, the number of people attending the designated land reform valuation training courses. We think that at the end of the first strategic plan period, this goal will probably fall away once the OVG has is and has been seen to be a sustainable organization that is now operating like other mature organizations do. I'm now talking to the performance targets and alignment to the DRDLR. Key priorities for the OVG this year is to execute all valuations for land reform, a total of 1,151 land claims planned to be settled by the Commission. So we'll do 1,151 valuations to support the target of the Commission. They also plan to approve phased projects, 117 of them, and we have to support those with 117 valuations. This brings the total of valuations to be executed for the Commission to 1,268. For land redistribution and development, a total of 153 valuations is estimated. And you will see when you go to the ATP of the department under the program land reform, you will find that they have expressed their targets in terms of hectares to be acquired. We have worked out a way to express those in terms of the number of valuations, and these are the numbers that have been agreed between ourselves and the LRD branch. The next priority is criteria, procedures, and guidelines to be determined. Then it's about growing the business and improved quality assurance. In terms of the quarterly targets, the performance targets, goal number one is to support land reform. The strategic objective one is execute all valuations for land reform. So that target of 1,151 number of land claims settled, in Q1 we plan to assist with 207 valuations, which should then translate into 207 land claims settled. Q2 is 320, Q3 is 324, and Q4 300. And those are in line with the targets of the Commission. On phased projects approved is 117, Q1 is 22, Q2 is 37, Q3 37, and Q4 21. Still on the same goal and strategic objective, for land redistribution and development, Q1 is 23 valuations, Q2 53, 61 in Q3, and in Q4 16. In terms of the second goal, which is the one on developing criteria, procedures, and guidelines, we plan in Q1 to commence with the research development plan, in Q2 to have 50% of the development plan completed, in Q3 65%, and in Q4 we're planning to have the minister approve the evaluation criteria, procedures, and guidelines. I think one of the questions would be, what are we doing in the interim? In the interim, we're using a, which is still in line with the PVA, we're using a manual that the Valuer General has developed to guide the valuers in doing their work in line with the Property Valuation Act. But this goal acknowledges more work needing to be done to formalize how we proceed with the work. In Q3, in goal three, around organizational sustainability, is strategic objective 3.1, which talks about growing the work of the OVG around non-land reform valuations. There we're saying we'll start doing the surveys around the potential clients of the OVG in Q2, and we'll do two, Q3 will do four, and Q4 will do two. As an example, there is already interaction between COPTA and the OVG around valuations. Members of the committee would be aware that municipalities do a lot of valuations for their valuation roles, and there is a role for COCTA to play there, and there are engagements between ourselves and COCTA in terms of assistance. We are doing some of the water and sanitation. We've had two assignments from water and sanitation. So those are the types of clients that we are referring to in this specific key performance indicator. Insofar as revenue collected from non-land reform valuations, it's an annual target that we have set at 0.25% of the fixed operating cost for the year. Producing high quality valuations, strategic objective number 3.2, we have said that we must establish an independent assurance mechanism within the OVG. An independent quality review committee established and operational with 12 committee meetings that will review the work of the valuers of the OVG in order to ensure that it is in line with the prescripts that govern valuations and the spirit of the Property Valuations Act as well. We'll do four each for Q2, Q3 and Q4. Insofar as the percentage of valuations reviewed by the Quality Review Committee, we have set a target of 3% for the year. And based on the numbers that we have alluded to, the actual count of the number of valuations that we are going to do for the DRDLR, we have now been able to just determine that percentage to be 14 in Q2, 3 and 4. In terms of the number of valuations that have got to be reviewed by that quality assurance mechanism. That target is an annual target, but the Valuer General was of the view that it be tracked on a quarterly basis as well. The one around organizational sustainability still goes through. Strategic Objective 3.3, establish operational and governance processes. We set complete operating models and internal controls project. We want to finish 25% of what is remaining, 50%, and then get to 100% in Q3. Then there is the compilation and maintenance of property data. By the end of Q2, we should have a feasibility study planning approved by the study leader. And Q4, a feasibility study for the development of property data management tool signed off by the VG. Our view is that it's not going to be a simple task given the number of systems that we think we can tap into in maintaining this property data that actually the PVA requires of us to do. Operational sustainability, filling of professional vacancies and retention. It's an annual target. 50% of the 83 proposed positions in the OVG we think we should fill in this year. We are hoping for better, but we were cautious in that we want to approach the labor market cautiously so that we don't do too many things too soon. But this is the target that has been set for the year. The number of people attending designated land reform courses, we said it's 10, and these can be outside or inside the OVG. As the VG has said, we are by and large reliant on valuers in the private profession and doing quality assurance internally within the OVG. And we have a course that the OVG is doing together with the University of Cape Town. And this is one of those programs that we are targeting, that we institutionalize the PVA way of doing valuations using that program. Remarks on the targets. The OVG is still in the formative stages. We still have to sign off our SLAs between ourselves and our clients. We've had a meeting with the acting DG last week. We've had ongoing engagements with the Commission on the Restitution of Land Rights, and we are quite close to signing off on the SLAs that will keep us, you know, both sides accountable to the targets that have been set. This is the implementation plan for the OVG. I think I will skip it. It's got things like the, you know, design principles that informed our operating model. It talks to the operating model. I think maybe this slide is important, Vijay, just to show the operating model of the OVG. We've got that big block at the top that says oversight. That's where we will have the risk management performed, the internal audit function will be performed there, performance monitoring and stakeholder management will be performed there. Obviously, all of these oversight functions have got a level of independence, such as an internal audit function. We know internal audits are, at least internal audit committees are populated with people from outside of an organization. So that's the oversight universe that we see for the OVG. And then in terms of core functions, it is by and large valuations, actual performance of valuations, as well as quality assurance of the valuations done by valuers in private practice. In terms of support, there's ICT, supply chain, human capital management, facilities, legal, and finance. There's more detail around the operating model, but I'll skip those and go to the lessons. This is one of the aspects that we were required to cover through the letter that came from the chair. In terms of lessons that are emerging from the time that the Valuer General was here, in the main from about 2016. Insofar as the industry is concerned and the profession of valuations, one of the shortcomings is that in industry itself, valuations is really organized as a subset of the property industry. So when you engage with the valuers, you do get a sense that they playing a role as part of a kind of junior role player in the broader property industry. So you don't really get a strong voice that comes from the industry itself. You have a muted voice of the valuations industry on the work of the OVG, resulting in lost potential contribution to the work of the OVG. By now I thought you would have had, you know, the professional, the industry wanting to engage with the OVG to almost make a contribution towards the direction or the work of the OVG. OVG complete dependence on the private valuers for the initial determination of values is one of the shortcomings because of that lack of capacity. We are outsourcing most of our work. We also have philosophical disagreements between the OVG and some valuers in the profession regarding the determination of PVA values. So you have an industry and profession that has been trained by and large to do market value. And the Property Valuation Act is a very clear movement away from just relying on market value and introduces all of these other things that were always there in the Constitution and says, when you look at values for land reform purposes, you shall look at the history of acquisition, the current use, you look at the purpose for the acquisition itself, and I think there's one other aspect that I'm forgetting. Government subsidy, yes. All of those things are doable and are being done by the OVG through the valuers in private profession. But you do get resistance that is not so much as a result of impossibility of achieving those factors and doing those factors, but from an almost philosophical and ideological point of view, where people say, don't do current use value. Rather, when the Constitution spoke about current use, it did not foresee it to be current use value. And the view of the OVG is that indeed you've got to determine the current use value. So those are the types of difficulties that we're still having with the industry or the profession itself. We have lingering legacy valuation skill set emphasizing only market value. So it's almost like the OVG has got to do the work of educational institutions. Whereas other professions benefit simply from the throughput of professionals from academic institutions, the OVG has got to add other things that have got to be taught for it to be able to achieve PVA valuations. Possible remedies are that we should encourage a more audible industrial profession voice around the work of the OVG, encourage innovation on the work of the OVG from the broader public, implement the OVG professional development program, which is part of the structure that has been developed, do increased advocacy work around the Office of the Valuer General, upscale the training intake on the evaluations for land reform and expropriation program, and also drive the inclusion of the PVA evaluations in the curricula of academic institutions. I think the VG will say a bit more when he speaks again about the work that he is doing with academic institutions. On the OVG capacity, some of the shortcomings are lack of customer relationship management systems that make it easier for us and our clients to track the work that we receive as the OVG. We still, you know, depending on antiquated systems of receiving instructions, and if you are looking at more than 1,400 valuations that you've got to do for this year, it's important that we then improve those systems. Lack of appointed professionals, lack of clarified processes and procedures, lack of a database of finalized land reform transactions and their values, and the lack of integrated GIS systems. The strengths are that we've got a resilient organization that has been able to assist the department to achieve higher outcomes for 2017-18 financial year, despite the capacity constraints that we are facing. We've got a focused entity, and we have an adequately funded Schedule 3A public entity. And working with the department, we have been able to achieve a level where we believe for what we are required to do, we are adequately funded. Possible remedies for the shortcomings that I've alluded to, one, that plans are afoot and being implemented to resolve the shortcomings that are listed above. There's a proposed organogram finalized and being considered for implementation. VG did mention that some of the special approvals that we have received are that we are appointing between the process started on Wednesday, is finishing tomorrow back in Pretoria, and next week we will be making offers to about 9 professionals to join the OVG. Recruitment is underway for the ad hoc positions, like I said. Governance, policies, procedures, and processes have been developed and finalized and are awaiting implementation as we start off as a Schedule 3A public entity. And the first strategic plan and APP detailing the OVG's capacitation plans has now been submitted to the minister and finalized. Okay. Major stakeholders,
it's taking forever, Tabe.
Okay, I think I should stop the chair. The other stuff are in the slides.
Thank you, but before Vijay, you want to come in?
So just quickly, if you notice on pages 20 and 23, the targets, the quarterly targets have not been broken down. For example, the percentage of income that we expect to receive, at this stage it's difficult to quantify per quarter. So we've left it as an annual target. Same for the other target on page 23, where we think that at this stage it's difficult to quantify them in terms of quarterly targets. But generally is to say that we are looking holistically as an evaluation profession, and we have been granted permission to do a study, and that study is to look at the profession as a whole in the country together with the Council for Valuers, with the educational institutions, to revamp the curriculum, because they don't really talk to current developments in international valuation standards. The other key aspect of this is for the OVG to provide specific training in land reform valuation, especially to young graduates who are coming out. So on the structure, provision is made for that purposefully until we are able to filter into the market and get the whole country to understand that valuations for land reform is not market value. Thank you, Chair. But let me also thank the department, especially the top management, for their support.
LBC, where are you now?
We are finished.
You know where you are?
Yes, we are finished.
You think you can come all the way, all of you have come and thank each other? Thank you. Thank you, Vichy. Thank you. Tapel, what's your position again?
First of all, for operations.
So are you COO?
No, I'm not.
Because you're another COO, Mutwaneng, you don't have to have
I get that question all the time.
Okay, thanks. Colleagues, before I Mr. Matthias was very interested in what I was saying. Before I give colleagues in, I think I'll have the first bite and they will have the bite as well, because I've been sacrificing all along. The first point. Thank you for the format. Yes, Tapper, I think you were still a CFO, acting CFO at some point. It really shows you're leaving such a great imprint on your work. I don't know if OVG would borrow us, you, Tapper, for a week to go to the Ingonyama, because I want to say it on record. Pity they're not here. No, I'm very serious acting DG. You can only start to engage from a proper format. How are we supposed to engage with the ITB yesterday? I don't know. And they came all the way. They were in flights, business class. They don't know where they are going to do what. There's hardly an APP in a correct format. Now it is. So thank you for that. It doesn't mean then once the format is correct, we agree with everything. At least we can then begin to engage. So the point of engagement, I think I have about three. Just the first one is, now you have not given financials, and you are saying at the end, VG, it's because it's difficult to, finance is measurable, so it will never be difficult to project finance. Never. If you're asking for a time, I will give you time to submit estimates to this management team here. Because we want to have findings and to approve your budget. How do you approve a budget and say to the House, in the House debate, well, it is difficult to estimate valuations. Valuations is quantities, and one of the required courses, I'm sure, is mathematics and whatever else, because it's quantities, it's measurement all the time. Similarly for finance, it's mathematics, it's measurement, or rather, let me say, it's numbers, it's calculations, let me put it that way. So, Vichy, I'm not sure if we accept your point that you have not broken down the financials into quarter. Maybe you ran out of time. If you didn't run out of time, in both cases, whether you ran out of time or you didn't, the point is we're giving you up until end of business day tomorrow to please submit the breakdown. No, what they are saying systems is that they are annual, their targets. We are saying once you have annual, if it was not thumbs up, you can then, it's called estimates. Now, I'm not good in English, because it's important to language. I speak Pondo language, but estimates is a very familiar word. Estimates means break down this 7 million rand. Estimate something. Please, we will not go to the House debate without estimates. I hope I speak on behalf of all members. They cannot go there and say we approve, we support the 7 million for the whole BG without an idea that how is it going to be spread. If you like, Tucker is much more for the finance guy, if I may say, then have a steady first quarter with 1 million, because at that time you are still finding your feet. I know the reverse can also be true, that at that time it's establishment and the setting of systems, but rather have a steady start and then have a spike towards the end just for 1 year. Quote me or don't quote me, I don't know. But just for 1 year. So we are asking that, Vichy, your point that we allow you to lump an estimated 7 million. We propose not to buy that idea and insist on you, because this is very nice. You'll have an unqualified the clean audit very, very soon. So don't spoil it with lumping up your 7 million and saying the parliamentary committee must see what to do, but for a year we'll require 7 million. No, no, no. Break it down to some estimates. I know it's a friendly point. The second one is the philosophical that Tapelo is talking about. He's correct, Vichy. It's correct. It's much more your competence now. The other maybe is much more on Tapelo. There are these five factors mentioned in the Constitution: history of acquisition, market value, the extent of state involvement, current use, and the purpose of expropriation. Right? They are there in the Constitution, Clause 25. All these five. Now, remember, valuation is about quantities. The younger brother at my home, he may just see this or hear it, is a quantity surveyor. And he simply speaks quantities all the time. I like to speak quality whenever it's possible, but you know, you keep trying, you never get to the quality, you keep trying. Please, for you to execute your work, have you attempted to come with numbers that convert the principles of the Constitution? Remember, you are a technical office. But convert the principles carried in Section 25 into, if you like, weighting factors. That's what some gurus talk about, the weighting factors. Let me give you an example. You might want to say, in terms of the weighting factors, the market value accounts for 50%. I've done some structure here. The history of acquisition accounts for 10%, you know, at 60. State involvement accounts for 20%. The current use accounts for 10%. And the purpose of expropriation accounts for 10%. Now, that's 100%. Where the state was not involved, in other words, of that 20% I gave, the market value goes, shoots to about 70%, and all other factors remain at 10, 10, 10. But where the state was involved, how can the very same state, you know, or have a separate clause or separate weight where the state was involved? The state may have bought a farm for 2 million. These people are now disposing of it, and it's worth about 5 million. But must the state really pay 5 million if the state still has an interest? So the legal gurus talk about first refusal, you know? Yeah. So these factors, it's my direct question to you, which is in office for almost 3 years now. These direct factors mentioned in the Constitution, let the political head and the leadership discuss policy, which are policy tools. But at your level, we really want quantities. I have made an example of a proposal that I would think that it is very, very sensible. I would think that any court given a breakdown of some sort. This is how we've structured it. In all probability, it would see sense, because these principles, how do they convert to values? That's the question. That's a philosophical question. And the last one is, I said three, then the last one is, Honorable Matthias, if he comes, I'll request him also to come in. These learners from universities, and especially elite universities, might really be coming with the typical capitalist curriculum, valuation being a market issue and a capitalist issue, if you like. I'll put it just like that, raw as it is.
Right.
And what the Constitution seeks to do is not to advance that. The Constitution seeks to have a certain dispensation where we all meet somewhere at a certain common point. So, this issue, VG, about you convincing these young learners and converting them into good Samaritans, who's that? Is that Paul, who was persecuting Jesus, and then in some Damascus, and there was this lightning. I don't know how lightning comes, so I did a bit of science, but there was then this lightning, and then Paul changed all of a sudden and was really preaching the gospel. Né? So you want that Damascus Road also. These learners at universities, they taught all this capitalist valuation. Matthias fell there. And then all of a sudden, the OVG is now not having the professionals who have been trained in this philosophy, in this approach of the new constitution. Right. So we think that come back to Parliament, even if it means next quarter, with a tool. Because whenever, in fact, in all of the governance, we are discouraging consultants because of this. We ask that the state official must be foot soldiers, transformation soldiers, right? Because of the same thing that you give to consultants, they see a road accident fund. You know the road accident fund, a very unfortunate one. A milking cow, chase these targets, prevent a case, compile as thick a case as possible, milk money thereafter. You might just get into that trap. All of a sudden, the young professionals or the professionals irrespective of age might just be looking at in your direction to source work, chase as much work, rock, move around a building quickly and look at the river running by and look at the settlement and then give a property value and go and submit an invoice for payments by the office of the Evaluator General. So we think that you really have to fight battles there. If you don't, because we will want to measure your impact. Minister Nkwinji likes saying in his last year in this portfolio, in his last 12 months, that comparatively speaking to what we would have budgeted, you saved us something like, he was not saying that you robbed others by so doing, but by having a Valua General, that unscrupulous seller who would just want any amount is deterred, because the Valua General begin to put these factors, you know, right? But I'm saying, are they weighted? And that was meant to be the last. There's a case here, yesterday Tapper was here. There's a case of a Kanule. Thank you. That one. The state is involved there, and it's a CPA case in the Eastern Cape, Queenstown area, Elliot, somewhere there. Kisani district, to be sure. Yeah. Now, at what point do you get in to support the department and its CPAs and so on? It's a serious court case there. The department has no idea of value. That property in Nanyuli was last valued, what, 2008, 10 years ago. But we have an OVG fresh from the board with such a fresh and brilliant Valua General. It's a pleasure knowing you, sir, and seeing you next to us. Yeah? Thank you. Members, Honorable Members Mbabama and Honorable Robertson, Honorable Mbabama, Honorable Robertson, if I may, we have taken only a reflection by Nati on the ABC, and we suspended, and it was really pretty much what we said yesterday. It is absolutely nothing. But we suspended further process on it until you are back. We were trying our level best to be good faith, because she nominated me to be acting chair yesterday, so I'm paying back, you see. That's what has happened. Now we have received this presentation by the Valua General. It's the one we are interacting with. And thank you for coming back. Thank you so much, colleagues. Yeah, I'll take members' comments on the OVG. Honorable Phil Dane, Honorable Matthias, and Honorable Chabele. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. It was with much fanfare, and as well as enthusiasm and high expectations when we debated the issue of having the office of the Valua General. After we had witnessed public funds being taken in large quantities by both sellers as well as government officials. We've got cases that are well reported in the media where government officials would comfortably offer a buyer $37 million in a property that finally pays $15 million to the seller. Now, therefore, at the back of our minds, or uppermost in our expectations, was that by now we would be having an office of the Valua General that says, given the history that led to the establishment of this very office, my primary target is that I would save the state so much percentage when it comes to state disposal properties, to acquiring properties. That's what I have been expecting since this office was established. That statement is not forthcoming. What I see is a small office now that has got as its major purpose not much more than expanding its office. Now, what happens with government institutions, once they start off like that, is that over time, they'll tell you that they cannot achieve their targets because they're going to pay salaries and being less operational. I fear we're headed in that direction here. I look at the quarterly targets. I look at what is going to be happening. It's meetings, planning to plan. I don't see this office, this current financial year, going out to do valuation in the manner in which when we supported this in the National Assembly was expected to do. They're going to spend the next 12 months at the cost of the taxpayers planning for the future. And nowhere is it mentioned that the primary thing that we hope to achieve, for that matter even in 2019-2020, will be to save the state. Citing examples, impressing us as the people who established that office, citing examples that, for instance, such as part of their research, which I would have expected them to have done, that, for instance, such and such a property, which was sold in Mpumalanga or in the Western Cape, could have cost government only so much. I don't see that, which sends a clear message at this early stage that is not uppermost in their minds. Now, for me, this is a big disappointment, because it means the reason why we established that office is not going to be actualized in the near future. That's the first point I want to raise on our retro chair. If I am wrong with this perception, I will be more than happy to be corrected, because you will be taking me exactly to where I want to be. And I'm sure This is the same view with all the colleagues on this side, because we are of that view. That was the motivation that were given by the department, that this is the purpose, to save taxpayers' money. It's not coming through. They're planning their salaries. They're planning to teach, recruit, and so on, to have a big office. Next thing, they'll be asking for more office space for these officials. I am not happy with this fundamental. Now let's look at sections 25, 3, 4, and 5 of the Constitution, which is the focal point of that office. Now, I don't can't get a bold statement to say, when it comes to wages, in terms of section 25.3, where you have got the number of factors that you have got to provide for when you are doing evaluation, I don't hear a clear statement to say that we will reduce the weighting of the market value element by so much and replace it or heighten the history of the acquisition of the use of property. Now that, in so doing, they would be convincing us as public reps that they are singing the tune of what they have been established for, which is to assist land reform. I don't get that statement in what they presented to us. That's what I was looking for, especially when we are talking strategic objective, which is totally different from a straightforward objective. Why are you going to town? I'm going to town to buy apples. But my strategic objective, to achieve that, I need to have transport. Now, I'll acquire transport so that every time I go to town, I must have my own transport. So your strategic objective towards acquisition, making the final goal is to say, I must have transport. I must have some money for buying petrol. That becomes, in other words, the labor that will take me there. Is this. Now, here, I don't get that kind of thinking. This is what concerns me, Honorable Chair. This office does not come out as an office which is strategically empowered, not positioned, strategically empowered to drive this program. I'm saying this, making this strong assertion so that they feel challenged to come out and prove me wrong. That's what we're looking for. I want to be proven wrong, that I have made a wrong assessment by saying, at this point in time, what comes out of that office doesn't speak to what they've been established for, which is land reform. It's as simple as all that. Now, if you look at section 25.4, which is for the purposes of this section, the public interest includes nation's commitment to land reform. I don't see them getting there, taking us there, not in the next, in the immediate future, if their thinking is not there. Because they've got to convince us just as well, Honorable Chair, and here is a comrade Chair. What the? Okay. It's just as well that you capture the point that you're wondering how they are going, I'm not quoting you verbatim, obviously, how they are going to convince those students that this is the new thinking. I will not say the new dawn. I don't belong there. Okay. This is the new thinking. This is what we are here for. Those are the pointers that I want to indicate. We are sitting here with a situation where commercialization of properties is skewed in favor of people who have traditionally lived in certain areas. You can take a house in the heart of Soweto, built in terms of an architectural plan that is exactly the same as the one that of a house in Sandton. The values will be totally different. I don't see this office attempting to address that. I don't get that sense. So that house in Soweto will still be a fraction of the house in Sandton, even though architecturally they look exactly the same, because they'll be looking at market values. Now, we know what influences this so-called market values. you know, a number of things like where the property was situated, you know, the people that live around that property. I don't see that transformative program coming out. And it was not going to count off of them and somebody else somewhere in the department or some wild voice, their politician, is going to be for them to say, does this make sense? How professionally qualified are these people who are saying this? We wanted that to come out of that office to say we are going to transform the very valuation system. That's the strategic objective I was looking for. The very valuation system, a sentence to that effect, would send a clear message that we are at one. I don't get that. The valuation system is going to be transformed, and this is how we're going to do it. Now, if you tell me that, because someone, they have got an item on research, and I've written a question, what are they going to research? Why is this a top secret to them, to us, to what they are going to research? After so many months in the office. I don't get that. We want goal, they say here, goal to support land reform. How can you achieve this strategic objective if you are substantially influenced by the principle of market values? You should be doing away with it if you're working for transformation. The government will never have money for paying for all those buildings. So simple as all that. We'll waste money, give you a budget to go and do valuation, and you still come back with very high values. And this government will not have the money for that. And that will be an exercise in futility. Fast forward. So therefore, we're talking about, my question is, what principles will guide you to develop criteria for this objective? We want the criteria that you'll be using. That will form, influence our understanding of what you are about. On the criteria, slide 19. What is it that you will be researching? I've already covered that. Generally speaking, by what percentage do you see yourselves saving government on paying unduly high and inflated property prices? That's what we want to hear this coming, this financial year. By what percentage? Go and work out the percentages so that we say there is reason for that office to exist. They are going to save us so many billions. There's a new sheriff in town. We don't feel that there's a new sheriff in town. Not at all. We want to speculate that maybe they will save us 25%, 0.5%. We don't know. It's not coming out. Maybe it's there. That's why I keep on saying it's not coming out. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm saying it's not coming out. Now, land reform courses, page 23. What is the content of that course? Who has drafted that course? You see, we keep talking about apartheid government, apartheid education. Somebody sat somewhere on some cold winter night and said, I want to produce this kind of professional for the South African education system. It's not something that came out of the blue. Somebody said, 50 years' time, the kind of architect that South Africa must have should be the one that does this and that and that, should be the one that will need this instrument and that instrument, should be the one that will be taught by this one and that one, 50 years from now. So they setting a syllabus that will influence the economic situation in South Africa 50 years from now. I don't see that kind of out of that office. I don't see it. I can't smell it. I can't. I don't see that strategic thinking, which was the thing why we supported this. These are the private thoughts we had. It's just that within 3 minutes, you can't articulate everything that you can say in the National Assembly. So I don't know what is the content of these courses. Now, how do we therefore say, Chairperson, that we support the budget when we don't even know what courses? What if they are going to teach people on the importance of land, market-related values? We don't know. On valuations, history of the property, what would you support? Would you support the concept of historical prices? I want a specific answer as the main factor. That concept is designed to say some properties that you'll be looking at are 100 years old. I know how they classify someone. Some properties are 200 years old. Will you be in a position to say, and I hope I'll make myself well understood here, will you be able to say the historic price of this building, which is 200 years old, at that time when it was constructed, it would have cost this much. And therefore, we don't expect government to pay 100 billion for this property, because that's the cost that was incurred. Now, you will be helping this government, which has already taken a resolution in the NA, I'm finishing off, sir, to say we're looking at expropriating, you know. I think that's a lot that I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Filter. Honorable Matthias?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Well, we welcome the presentation and the Velua
General. Just mind the line of the cameras and the
Velua General in South Africa. I think the Velua General and the office, which is about or is in the process of being established, is a groundbreaking initiative, which must not shy away from venturing into the uncharted waters. And I'm pleased that they have highlighted critical areas in their strategic plan. And one of these critical issues is the ideological and philosophical environment that they're going to, they will be venturing in, which have already identified some key challenges there. But before I deal with that, Chair, you're mentioning Mr. Mutsani, you made me have interest in him and also increase my curiosity about him. Not because he's Mutsani necessarily, but it's important that he should, perhaps outside of this meeting, he must tell you what is the meaning of the saying Mutsani, and they taught him that he is. You'll be very interested to know more about the meaning of the saying. But be as it may, back to the serious matters. The Velua General's office has an important mandate enshrined in the Property Valuation Act. And they also make reference to Section 25 of the Constitution. How I wish that they do not make that reference to that section. But making reference to that section is a constitutional requirement that he must anchor their work on the basis of that. I hear Honorable Filtani outcries about what the office should be doing and what should not be doing, the size of the office, how big it should be, how small it should be. Those are important questions.